The Rush Hour with Jars and Louie. Made in Adelaide for Adelaide. Weekdays from 4 on 104.7 Triple M.
Yep, welcome to Wednesday, family. Democracy is a platform we live by here in this program. So it sort of comes as no great surprise on a day when one of the great dictators, Mike Fitzpatrick, handed in his licence at the AFL headquarters. The big commissioner, head of the commission, has announced he's standing down. We will open up our phones, our lines of communications to elect the first ever Rush Hour captain. It's a big, big, big show today, and everybody's putting their hats in the ring. Even the Twitter family can get involved. If you think you can get the numbers via Twitter, say Sir Splash and a few of the boys, by all means, go ahead and get yourself in. There is only one qualifying thing you have to abide by, and that is no contact with Russia in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
I repeat, any Russian contact inside the last 12 months means you are ineligible and it will be a donkey vote.
Right, sure.
All right, are we clear? All right, getting back to the other guy that did announce his retirement today, Mike Fitzpatrick, 10 years in the top chair in the hot seat of the AFL. He's called it quits.
It's a good time to go. The Western Bulldogs Premiership, the early purchase of Etihad, and the successful Women's League launch signals a new era. And the game's in good hands. Gill and his team have a clear vision of where to take the game and the code, and with Richard Goyder succeeding me as chairman on April the 4th, it will go from strength to strength. It's been an absolute honour to serve as AFL Commission chairman, and a privilege to be part...
April 1 would have been a good date.
Right now, Luke. Hand over the keys now.
Was comfortable with all the handlings of all the controversy that's run through, especially Essendon and everything else. Man coming up next, Grant Thomas. He thinks a little bit more humility might have been the way to go. If you're looking for humble, you're on the right place, on the right dial. This is it today. It is open. All hats in the ring. And I kid you not, Juice, Louie, Sean Craig Murphy, our two producers, Wiggs and little Jared, little baby-faced assassin out there. Sam, our audio engineer, the man behind the buttons that makes the packaging sound so great most of the time.
Our boss, Matty O'Reilly, who's never here.
Yeah, that too. And then, of course, if anybody wants a crack at it, you get in there and you go, because as we said, we live and die by democracy on this program. Everybody's got a vote, all right? So strap yourselves in. You'll hear testimonials throughout the show. You'll get a chance to call Matty Nix from Port Adelaide too, coming through. He's too busy. He's a senior assistant these days at Port. Going to talk about that. All right, so get ready, family. A big show coming up. Grant Thomas next on the AFL Commissioner, the big head honcho's retirement. Right, the big announcement today is AFL Chairman Mike Fitzpatrick has put an end date on his reign at the top of the tree. Joining us now to comment on that and see whether we can find any humility in his comments today is the one and only a good friend of ours, Grant Thomas. Tomo, welcome to the Rush Hour for 2017.
Pleasure, guys. Pleasure.
This had been mooted at some point. A handover was coming and the Wicked Witch was going to hand it over at some point in time. But Mike Fitzpatrick, once again, didn't really endear himself to the masses, suggesting that he had no regrets, really.
Well, I suppose it signals the proverbial hitting the fan in a month or a couple of months' time with something, because he's making probably a grand escape. But look, 10 years is long enough. I think he's feathered his nest beautifully. No doubt he's done some decent things, probably done some good things. I just think it's not necessarily up to Mike to talk about how proud he is and how good he is. It's up to the people to make that call, and he should have a bit of humility. And I think in especially Essendon's circumstances, which it's not crystal clear to anyone, I just think he should have had a degree of humility and said, look, there's many things we could have done better. There's some things we should have should acknowledge that we're culpable in, but we learn and we move on and we continue to support. But, you know, to say that he's got no concerns at all with James Hurd or Essendon Footy Club or any other incident that's happened in the last decade, that's a bit much.
Yeah, for those who didn't follow you on Twitter, and the big one was Fitzpatrick said he was totally comfortable with the handling of the Essendon sports supplement scandal, which...
As he would be.
Very, very rich. What are we going to get down the track here, Tomo? Because we're going to get a new man who, again, according to Mike, doesn't tolerate fools. And I love your tweet here, as distinct from yourself, who comfortably tolerates fools. Because if we were to argue the point, there's been a lot going on that hasn't made a lot of sense from time to time throughout the AFL. So
are we going to get 3 or 4 months down the track where the old rumour file comes out? Because they said he was very good at getting it all done and keeping it all quiet.
Well, look, you know, I think the Fitzpatrick and Demetrio reign has been something that they've tolerated, and their behaviour during it has been very questionable. And you're seeing some of the incidents with Demetrio since his exit from the AFL, and there's another announcement today about some stuff that they're falling over themselves, saying there was no conflict of interest. Well, you can't have a... You know, the fact that you've got a conflict, you can't manage a conflict of interest. There's either a conflict of interest or it's not. There's no half pregnancies here. Yeah. And I think Fitzpatrick, with some of the things he was able to oversee during his reign as AFL chairman, were completely conflicted, as was, you know, the previous person. Ron Evans was spotless. But, you know, we seem to be immune to these sorts of things, and we seem to have them shoved down our throat and accept them. I've got a lot of confidence with the new person coming in. He's a highly credible person who's got a great track record, and I actually think he's probably underneath everything saying he's had enough of it as well. And I think we'll see a different approach, and I hope we do. You don't get to the stage of his career that he is and not have a degree of credibility. And I know that a lot of people who I take counsel from speak very highly of the man, and so I think you know, we've got a bit of confidence going forward. I just want to stop all the pushing under the rug stuff, all the innuendo, all the garbage. I just want to have a transparent, open. I want to have humility. I want to engage the fans and tell them the truth. I don't want to have any duplicitous behaviour through your own media department. I just want transparency and honesty and openness and taking responsibility and accountability for things you don't get right. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, it is. Now, that man's Richard Goyder too, that we speak of as on the AFL Commissioner, and really good at what he does, Wesfarmers and everything else, great. So we should be okay. Hey, cast your eye across the landscape of women's footy.
I have. You know, if they keep going the way they're going, and the men will be playing curtain raisers for them. they have a crack. They leave themselves open a bit, which I suppose they'll learn that, and some of them are getting knocked about a bit. But, gee, it's exciting. And I think what it does do, it actually tells us that fans aren't salivated by skills necessarily. Because there's no more skills than you'll see in the big game or the men's game, but it gets a bit boring. But the women, they haven't got a lot of skill at the moment, but, gee, they have a crack. You're on your edge of the seat. It's contest after contest. It's footy like when you guys played. And, you know, that's what we want. You know, and I think it's really exciting. And that's one good thing. No doubt Mike's put his hand up for that today. That's one great thing they've done and got it through. And, Gillon McLaughlin's but really been keen to push this through in advance of when it was expected. And I just think it's a tremendous thing at the moment. I'm really enjoying it.
Tomo, last one. We're about to head into the JLT Community Series. The umpires now have
to... What?
The JLT Community Series, I think I read somewhere. You know what we're talking about. And umpires now have to interpret what is 14 metres and 9 metres, and we'll get a restart for rush behinds, and it's got to be 14 metres out, but it's got to be 9 metres out if you do it. Interpretations, these poor blokes, they could go full-time times 5 and still not understand what is expected of them.
It's just an impossible thing where we're giving them. And, you know, I think the first thing that needs to happen is we need to have a summit. We need to get learned people like yourselves away, a dozen people, go through the rule book back to front, throw out the rules that are no longer applicable, clearly define in a small parameter of interpretation the ones that now apply to our game, and understand that, look, you know, the rules that were appointed a long time ago had a certain intent about them, and then that intent has been morphed into something else these days, and it's all wrong. Makes it difficult for umpires, and I think the more interpretation we're giving him is greater inconsistency and the bigger frustration, to a point that I think the AFL actually want that, because underneath everything, I think they're saying, oh, it's great when the fans, you know, aren't happy and they're upset, and that's part of what we want. But look, some of these rules, I just can't get my head around the changes.
She's a flawed vision.
Good work, mate.
Thanks, mate. Always great to chat.
In fact,
we'll chat
I've
soon.
That whole pre-season system, as you know. It's just rubbish.
Can we just sign a paper and say, just get rid of it, all of us, as fans?
What's the point of it? Let's have the first game. Let's have no games against any. It's all relative for every team.
Absolutely.
No, you're not allowed to have a practice match against another AFL team. There's nothing. Round one, let's get it on.
They've been playing against each other for 3 months now.
How exciting would that be? Just turn up and you don't know what form line you've got and why you're
We've got Essendon playing Collingwood in this pre-season rubbish.
Tomorrow night.
I would love that to be round one, and there'd be 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
It would be fantastic to see what Essendon are going to do.
On that note, mate, we'll touch base soon. Grant Thomas.
All the best, guys. Take care.
Ta.
Sad story. This Grant Hackett has been arrested again after he allegedly flew into an uncontrollable rage at his parents' house on the Gold Coast earlier today. 8 police officers arrested the swimmer. Looked quite dishevelled and a little dazed when driven away in the back of the police car, Jars. Witnesses suggesting he was just going off and stabbing the knife into a chopping block. So he has been getting help for mental issues, and we know his story now is becoming a long battle, I think, with trying to get his head right after stepping out of the limelight. He's got a medical problem. This is his dad, Nev, and it manifested itself here this morning. He was raving and ranting a bit. He's been receiving treatment from a doctor. He's big and powerful when he's not happy. So they felt they had no choice but to call police and get them to come out. And the only way they can do anything about it, for what it is to arrest him for domestic violence. So,
but no charges laid.
No, he's down at the watch house. He's expected to be released this afternoon.
That's not the issue.
It paints that bigger picture again. He's had his ongoing battles.
Yeah,
I will throw in a kid called Josh Cartwright, the jockey, who his defence of his charge of riding into the two other horses was not the fact to get his girlfriend to win.
No.
In fact, he just didn't want to be a jockey and that he was cooked and he was trying to do something to get himself kicked out of the sport.
He was cooked, yep.
Then you throw in Nick Maddison, the New South Wales cricketer, who was the surprise selection
number
of the
six
summer.
Bat. Yep.
Lasted 3 tests, then went back. Big Bash didn't find much form. He's now stepped away from the game indefinitely, struggling to come to terms with a loss of form or whatever. So this is the greatest battle facing, I suppose, sporting clubs and then mums and dads and everybody down the track is how do we pick these kids up or these men, young men and women up when they don't reach the ultimate goals? Now, is it a generational thing that we've just, as the new generation comes through, there is an expectation, yes, you can be great and you will be great as opposed to, well, hang on a minute, only the very few ever reach the pinnacle, Jars, so you always need to be slightly prepared for if plans don't go your way and you don't get to be the out-and-out best. Now, Hackett was the out-and-out best. He just struggled to get to a normal life. But a lot of these other ones we're seeing, and footy in particular is facing it, the burnout, the lack of joy, the stress that these young men are under, and now our young women who are now coming into a system, what do we do with them, or how do we prepare them properly so if they don't make it, they go, oh, well, I gave it my best and I'll move on with life.
So where does it start? Does it start at home? Because, as you know, parents are very demanding now. They want their sons and daughters to be the best in their field. The pressure they're under from their parents and their family members. I was always told, go and play, smile, have a smile on your face when you go and play footy or cricket. Have fun with it. But today, though, Louis, it's a different world. This generation, as you said, they're under more pressure to perform. The money that mum and dads have to fork out to get the result, to play for Australia or for the elite sporting group, is enormous. And I reckon that's where we're going to see more and more kids fall off. And I don't know what the safety net is these days.
The pressure is return on investment if you want to be really cold. And you can do that. And the other one too is, though, to be good, you got to commit from a very early age. Just these days, you don't get serious at 16 anymore.
No,
go, hang on, I'm going to have
younger
a crack.
Than that.
You're in the
younger
systems. You've made the choice. Your lifestyle comes, with some sports as young as 8 or 9. When tennis, you start to hit for 3 or 4 hours a day. You've got the footy kids who are committing from the age of 12. They're going on diets and making sure they're doing the right thing. Their weight's broken. They're living and breathing, not having a social life, just committing to the course. So when it doesn't come off, or when they get to it and they don't crack it, they feel the heat.
I know a 15-year-old lad that is paranoid about his skin folds. He's on all, he eats the organic foods.
Yeah.
He is so obsessed to play AFL football, all right? And he's not the only one.
No.
And I go, no way. At 15, I was going out having a good time, just getting out there and socialising with the mates, but then go and train and just see what happens. But it's out of control now, Lou. And poor old Grant Hackett, he's in a bad, bad, bad way. And what's going to – where's the safety net?
Yeah, and
where is it?
And Hackie is the elite. He's the top of the pops.
Exactly.
He reached it. He's just struggling to come back down the mountain as opposed to go up it. So I don't know where that heads. Fingers crossed he can get himself right, especially for his mum and dad's sake, because you don't want to have to sit through that and be terrible in the face of that kind of stuff. We're not done with that. I think we need to investigate that more over the coming weeks. So we find out where
we're at. Pressure.
Yeah. Time for a bit of fun, but seriousness at the same time, Juice. Crows announced their leadership group earlier this week. Tex was renamed skipper. Rory Sloane was the vice-captain. And Eddie Betts and Tommy Lynch came into the leadership groups for the first time. We thought we'd better get our A into gear in here.
Before the season kicks off.
Announce our skipper and, in fact, leadership group.
Not sure.
Right now, we have five nominations on this show. There is the great Juice himself, Mr. 5-2. I'm in there as well. Murph as our anchor. Then there's Wiggs, who I would go as P1, as in producer one. And then young Jared would be producer two. And then Sammy in production, who takes care of the business. Sam Morrison, who sometimes is a sparring partner with Jars.
Who's currently not here at the moment.
Yeah, but who has, in his absence, put himself in a little nomination speech. So we're going to do that. By the way, this is a policy on the run. It'll be a four-man leadership group, so someone will miss out.
Four-man?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, geez. Should be a four-man show with one missing out. All right, family, get involved as well. Cast your vote. Perhaps you like Jars, myself, Murph, Wiggs, or Jared, or Sam.
All right.
Better still, if you think you can muster up a case for yourself, because let's be honest, everybody works from home these days, don't they? So, and the Twitter family we love dearly, and also the family who jump on the blower, a phone call a day would be nothing.
No.
To run this and maybe a pep talk and ask for a bit extra from a few individuals and bits and pieces.
It's not hard.
Just dropping in maybe the topic of the day that you want to talk about. You know, all those sort of things. Yeah. We are a democracy. Our only caveat we place on anybody trying to run this show is you have to have no Russian connections for the last 4 months.
Right.
We don't need that kind of attention.
Or any focus AFL on connections.
And exact.
Okay.
If you've got a job with the AFL,
We don't want to know. Who's up first?
All right, so 133353, jump on Twitter.
Right.
Get it going now. We'll sort this bad boy out by the end of the show. I've got a feeling it's going to go out tomorrow, but that's just me. But I want to kick it off, Sam, who couldn't be here, who has a rotational position now with his job on Wednesday, and blah, blah, blah. He wanted me to say all that.
Right.
Here is Sam Morrison, our audio engineer's pitch to become captain of the Rush Hour.
My name is Sam, and I'm an audio producer on The Rush Hour, and I want your vote for captain of The Rush Hour. You may remember me from such funny openers as...
Rory!
And also...
Copper spray from Warren Treadray.
I also produce promotional spots for Jars and Louis, editing down their mumbling and meandering into 30-second pieces of radio gold for our audience to enjoy.
Can you at least wait till we get off and the microphones are turned off?
Jesus.
I also edit a lot of the pre-recorded interviews the guys do, carefully taking things out they say, like, f*** the and Aunt Ruin dits a couple of Basically, I provide the checks and balances for these guys. A vote for Jars and Louis is a vote for anarchy.
Permission to go bananas.
They will let the power go to their heads.
Bit of me. Yeah.
You think Trump is loose?
Don't be rude.
Wait till this guy gets in charge.
Well, this was what it is, you know. Okay. What?
Vote for Sam, the audio guy, and I'll keep these bastards honest.
Spoken and authorized by Sam Morrison for the Rush Hour 2017.
There it is.
Not bad.
Sammy Morrison.
Not bad.
All right, we'll get
very good production.
Yeah, well, fantastic. I mean,
no, it's his office.
My guess,
it's his again, front yard.
My guess would be that when he has the time to deliver such, you know, witty and all that sort of content, but under the heat of live radio, I just don't know.
It's a different world.
It's a different beast. You know, it's, you know, to be able to think on
hide
your feet.
A little room there and press a few little buttons and make us sound like we're
to
stupid.
To cut, to do all sorts of things and then go around and re-record it and re-record and re-record again.
Yeah.
So much so right now, Murph, this is how highly I regard your good self, given the fact you've got a radio school, AustralianRadioSchool.com. I'm going to allow you to go live with your pitch.
You're not going to like this, though.
Right now.
There you go.
You're not going to like it.
Your time starts now.
Yeah. My pitch is this. I don't want it. Because I think I'm a role player, and I actually just want to play my role.
Selfless.
I do not want to be captain, okay?
Selfless.
So I'm taking my hat from out of the ring and retrieving it. I don't want the captaincy. Okay?
Isn't it funny? Because we had a little meeting pre-show, the big guy and I, and we actually grabbed your hat and we threw it out of the ring because we knew... anybody who didn't know who Ben Garuccio was,
yeah, but it didn't sound like that coming out of a sports show.
To be captain of a sports show, you really got to have your fingers on the pulse and have more love than for the AFL women's team. You got to be right across the spectrum.
Yeah. And the Crows men's team as well.
Yeah, sometimes, especially when they sing the song well.
You've withdrawn your application captain of the rush hour. Right. You want to be one of the backroom staff boys.
I just want to play my role. That's all. I just want to play my role.
Play your role.
No, we're forgetting it anyway. Exactly.
133353. Get the phones are coming. Get on Twitter. Who shall be captain of the rush hour ship?
Sammy's wasn't bad.
Hard to beat.
Rush hour. Charles and Louis at 104.7 Triple M.
Taking your calls and your votes on Twitter for the captaincy role of the rush hour leadership season it is. So we thought we'd best address our house and get it in order. Coming up very soon, we'll get to it. The big story of the day, Grant Hackett arrested on the Gold Coast at his parents' house where he allegedly flew into an uncontrollable rage after drinking heavily. His dad called the police and he's been handcuffed and taken to the local cells up there. So just another little chapter in his fall from grace.
He's not a well man.
No, exactly.
Not a well man, Luke.
Get to that a little bit later. But right now, let's take a phone call because I think someone's about to nominate a young man who's got a nice pitch here on the rush hour.
Joshy of Kapunda. G'day, Josh.
How are you, boys?
Good, Joshy. Your vote for skipper of the rush hour?
I'd like to vote for Jared, guys.
Okay. Producer 2, new kid on the
just
block.
Just started.
It's the only one that hasn't been corrupted yet.
And I
do apologise, Jars. I have never heard him actually say that he wants to put a roof on Adelaide Oval.
Yeah. That should rule you straight away, Joshy, shouldn't it?
I'm very strong on that idea, Joshy.
Well, that's why I wouldn't vote for you. What sort of captain are you?
Exactly.
No.
All right. Well, Josh, that's a great start. I thank you very much. Quickly to Twitter before we play some more of these presentations from the five, the big five, having a crack. Nick Kelly. White bait for Sam if you played some too. Don't know what that means. Nick Kelly in there. I would vote for me because I'd run the show like Usain Bolt, 9 seconds fast and quick. Zane Curry, voting for everyone but Jars. Sir Splash, not sure, lads, but isn't the title of president the pinnacle?
Well, it is.
With that kind of, you know,
that's arrogant.
We are using the vernacular of the leadership group. Yeah. We're not a political party.
Come on, Sir Splash.
Splash, all right. We're not. We're actually here, you know, just to do our job, and we're here looking for a skipper. Then he came back nicely. Who could forget Adam yesterday, who sounded like he'd been and had 8 tins when he got on the show? Actually, can I nominate Adam from yesterday? I like what he brings to the table with his 8-tin policy.
Okay.
I like that. Hey, let's hear from that young man, Jared, who, Josh, was it Josh Kapunda?
Yes,
was talking about. Here is young Jared, our young producer, new wet behind the ears. Here is his push to be captain of the rush hour.
G'day family, this is Jared, the assistant or rookie producer of the rush hour. But don't let the title fool you. My policy is youth trumps experience every time. It's time for the old brigade to step down and a new generation to come through.
You're fired.
Hodgie handed down the captaincy to Ruffy and Job to Heppel. Take a hint, lads, your time's over. I promise to you, family, as captain of the rush hour, I'll bring some much-needed stamina and get up and go to this great show. Vote 1, Jared. It's time, family. Make the rush hour great again.
Well, what a smarty pants attitude that is.
No, I like
make the show great once again.
You used a couple of good examples in there.
Jeepers.
Yeah.
He's had some good production behind him.
A slight slap at the end.
Was it? Just a little drive-by.
I wasn't aware it was going to get personal, but if it is.
Game on.
Too old. Let's go. Let's go for the third.
Is Wigsy.
The other one, Wigs, who senior producer on our show. Yeah. Good old Wigs, who fills in for the buttons when Murph's not around.
And was very dominant on Tinder when he first arrived.
He was a big Tinder advocate. So I'm waiting for a swipe right call this one. Here is Wigs, senior producer 1.
Hey, it's Wigs here. I'm the producer of The Rush Hour, and I've been in this role for almost a year. I vividly remember the day I arrived. It looked like the Sydney Swans change room after their round 8 162-point loss against the Brisbane Bears. The boys needed help. They needed a leader. They needed inspiration. I came in. Mark Barassi Wiggett, the coach, the radio legend. And if this team needed success, it had to be done from me. Oh, what a year. People talk about the Western Bulldogs' success. Leicester City, Adelaide United. Boy, oh boy, the resurgence of the rush hour. Inspired by Mark Barassi Wiggett. Oh, don't forget the other things I do. Taking phone calls from West Lakes when Jars arrives, not knowing who he is and looking like a fisherman. Or calling Louis that he's left his lights on in his car. Or ordering a washing machine. Above and beyond, my friends, I am the leader. I am the captain.
I like it.
Very
he did. He actually he did. He had to put through an order for a washing machine one day out there.
Yeah.
Slightly self-indulgent.
No, it doesn't matter. You got to sell it yourself, as you know.
I'm looking at your feet.
As I know.
I'm asking for you.
there's three very good nominations that have put their hand up. Good, very good.
What I will
voice.
Say, it's good to see.
Very, very good.
Good to see at least we care because everybody out there in Famland doesn't give a rat's ass. There's barely a vote trickling through.
Doesn't matter.
Maybe we're too self-indulgent ourselves.
Matter.
I like it. It's been fantastic.
A bit of fun with it.
Murph, you're the weak link.
No, I don't want the role. I'm serious about it.
The weakest link. Goodbye. Time to check in with Port Adelaide. Internal trial coming up on Friday night. Very quiet off-season by design this time around. And joining us now is a man who is the new senior assistant, Matty Nix. Good mate of ours. Nixie, welcome to the Rush Hour. And it's a big congratulations on your little up the scale of the ladder out there. Well done.
Thanks, Louis. Jars, good to chat with you.
Matty.
Awfully quiet on the Western Front. Had a couple of years of spruiking to try and drum up interest this time, batten down the hatches and just get to work and let maybe actions do the talking?
Yeah, not intentional, but it has definitely been we've got the actions going at the moment. The boys have trained really hard, worked really hard up until Christmas and then, got back. I mean, we're keen to play footy. That's where it's at the moment. We can't wait to get our teeth into some real games. You sort of get sick of playing against yourselves after a number of months.
Matty, Port Adelaide fans, they're passionate and they're loyal and they've been frustrated for the last 2 years. How far can this group go in 2017, knowing that every other club has improved by at least 10% over pre-season?
Yeah, exactly, Jared. I mean, everyone at this point in time, every team's in a really good spot. They feel good about what they've done. We're really confident in our list. The group of guys we've got together now is a fantastic group. We've got some young guys we brought in this year that have, the draft this year was fantastic for us. Again, every team's saying that, but we're really happy with the guys we've got in.
We'll get to one part of the Bash Brothers, Sam Pelpepper, in a moment. Lucky enough to catch up with Bradley Ebert the other week and gave us a little hint without giving much away that the big focus has been on skills a lot more and actual conditioning with the balls as opposed to a lot of really clocking up kilometres. That's a good thing. The big one on top of that, Nix, is how do you coach nerve? Because the boys are probably, if the knock has been on in the last year or two, they've lacked the nerve to pull the trigger.
It's a bit of mindset, isn't it? It's the power of the mind. And incredible, you see teams who start the year well and, they have three or four good wins early. The power of that mind takes over and they just think they're invincible, whereas you can go the other way. The guys we deal with, we're a young group. All players now are young groups. We're talking sort of 17 to 30-year-olds. So part of that is getting that starting the year well.
Nixie, where are you? Where are you, mate?
Are you on a yacht or
you're
something?
You're on a beach or something, walking around with your budgies on.
It's a bit windy, is it?
Oh, jeez. Terrible.
Your conditioning's gone way down
on,
and you're
Matty.
Blowing up.
It's falling out.
Mate, I'm out at the moment watching the boys do a bit of craft. So I'll just duck in behind out of the shelter here.
Just hide somewhere, mate. Go in a bin.
Mate, we're a station that broadcasts in stereo.
Mate, and we're number one.
All right, let's talk about a couple of things. How are you going to attack the JLT Community Series? Are you flat out? Are you going to play everybody? And same, one part of that question is Brett Eddy. Are we going to see Brett Eddy, your rookie, at least upgraded. Big, strong forward upgraded at some point, or at least get to cut the mustard in the trials?
Look, we'll start, I guess, on Brett. He's been fantastic. Come in, he's working hard. There's still areas of his game that he knows he's got to get better at, but we definitely want to see him through the JLT. Cool. You want to see a player. He's a mature footballer. He's got good experience, at a lower level. We want to see that he can step up and play at the higher level with, I guess, a bit more speed on the game. As far as the JLT goes, look, we'll come in. We want to play as many as we can. At the moment, we're probably looking around 40-odd that are available for some of the trainings we're working on. So, that's a really good sign coming into JLT. So we won't rest too many, but in saying that, it might be a two or three per game. We won't go in super strong on all three games. It'll just be see how it plays out after the first round.
Matty, the rush hour rule is one of our commandments. The ponytail look. If we see one boy strutting around with the ponytail and a stupid long beard, I'm telling you what, you might as well hand in your badge now. Please tell me you're going to just get rid of it, cut it off.
No, well, I've shaved mine off, as you know. Kenny's done the same.
By choice.
Are you talking about the coaching group?
I don't care. The playing group, anyone down there. Get rid of it. You don't need it.
It's a battle that I'm not sure we're going to win, Jarvis. It's a different generation, and nowadays, I mean, you look at some of the best players in the game, they've got the ponytail, and when you bring it up at training, we often will say to our right, look, if you want to have that, the ponytail, you want to have that beard and the look, well, you'd better play like Fife.
Get a kick, yeah.
Yeah.
Spot on.
It's hard to argue with it, you know, because when hair's your strength, you've got to go there. You too. Righto, Nixie. The new gig, senior assistant. Perks, get a nicer car parked. You get a newer car. Clearly, you didn't get a new phone or a better office.
Business class.
What do you get, mate, now that you run around 2IC?
I did have a 1980 Astra. I'm now in 85, so I've really stepped up into that.
Yes.
So no car. I'm probably in a worse office than I was prior. But, you know, that's not about that. It's not about the things you
don't
get. It's about making the team better.
That's it.
To get new T-shirts with maybe a senior assistant on it with MM, your little initials all over it.
Checking in charge T-shirts. Didn't even get one of those.
Tell me you got a new whistle, a silver-coloured whistle or a gold one.
A gold one.
Same black whistle.
Now, Kenny's lost a lot of weight, we hear. Is that right?
Looking good, Kenneth.
He's looking after himself. He's been outstanding. Only 4 donuts a week now.
Excellent.
So, no, he has been working hard. Yeah, we've got an ultra gym in the club, so he gets on that.
Hey, Nixie, just quickly to the Power fans. They're all invited to see the boys play their internal trial on Friday night at Alberton. What time's that start?
I get down here around 5 and see some of the boys warming up. We'll crank into it about 5:30. Look, it's a great opportunity to come out and see, especially some of our younger boys. They've been training really hard up to this point, so they're keen as mustard. Plus, you know, there's a bit of family day going on as well, so there's plenty for the kids as well. So it's a really good night.
Well, outstanding. Hey, we wish you all the best of luck for season 2017.
Well done.
Thanks, Nixie. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Matty Nixie, Senior Assistant Coach of the Port Adelaide Football Club. Friday night's the night, internal trial for Port Adelaide. Coming up next, our special guest earlier in the show is Grant Thomas, former St Kilda coach who doesn't hold back on any topics. Spoke about Mike Fitzpatrick, his departure, the AFL handling of some of the big key events, but also had this to say about the upcoming, the pending, tomorrow night it starts, the JLT Community Series.
Let's have the first game. Let's have no games against any. It's all relative for every team.
Absolutely.
You're not allowed to have a practice match against another AFL team. There's nothing. Round one, let's get it on.
He actually gave me a what you're talking about, Willis, didn't he?
He was staggered when you told him.
What do you think, family? No pre-season comp. Grant Thomas says, let's watch, say, for instance, it is Collingwood v Essendon. How big of interest would that be? The Band Bombers return to the MCG against Collingwood Army. 100,000 people. No pre-season form to speak of.
Just round
and
one.
No burnout to talk of when it comes to buyers and everything, because you haven't played all these games. Pre-season comp, should we dump it?
And no Richmond and Carlton on a Thursday night.
Oh, sweet Jesus, I'm on my knees.
And we've got some great prizes too, Shawnee.
Absolutely.
Tickets to the 36ers.
Righto, Grant Thomas, we spoke to early in the show, has suggested, and I think he got our vote, this pre-season competition type thing, which is now known as the JLT Community Series. There's no winner, by the way, this time around.
No.
You don't, at least in previous years, even though it was a round robin affair, the accumulation of the most points versus against, you would come out as a winner.
So currently it's just 3 games each?
Still the 3 games.
Right, then you go into, then a week off, then round one.
Yeah.
Correct?
Tomo's thoughts were, just time to scrap it. Don't let anybody play any practice matches against anyone. Do the internal trials. So when you front up for round one, that is it. So from a fatigue point of view, a burnout point of view, and I guess from an unknown point of view, imagine the hype surrounding round one. And he said, let's take, for example, the first game of the JLT, which is tomorrow night, Collingwood v Essendon. And he suggested at least 100,000 people would be there to watch the Band Bombers return against Collingwood at an MCG. What a way to kick off a season when you you haven't seen any footy,
I understand,
really.
But I think you need to play at least 2 trial games before you go into round one.
Do you?
Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Because, you know, the best part, you could move the girls' competition down a smidge. And that looks like it. Let's just take, for example, that looks like it could hold its own for a 2-month period as you lead in footy.
And
then all of a sudden the boys come out and you go, whooshka.
Jimmy.
That's where I'm thinking.
G'day, Jimmy. Thanks for holding on. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are with Louis. G'day, man. I'd scrap the pre-season comp with the girls in there. The general public wants footy earlier, let them watch the girls.
I like it, Jimmy.
All right, Jimmy.
I vote for Jimmy, please. For captain.
Jimmy, you're a 36ers fan. You want to go along to the final?
Yeah, why not?
All right, Thursday night. This is obviously the final Illawarra Hawks Titanium Security Arena. You are there, double for you, mate.
See, Jerome's come out and called him a dirty team.
Check it.
You're on, Jimmy. Hey, tell you what, you report back to on Friday. You can be a man on the spot
on the court.
Oh, beautiful, can do.
All right, beautiful, Jimmy.
Hang on, did Jerome come out and whack the Hawks?
He's labelled him
well,
as
a dirty
team.
You know that's dangerous.
I do.
Because the coach will print that and put it on their locker.
Twofold.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, I know, hear me out. They're aware that they do play physical nature because that's how you can beat the Sixers in theory.
Yeah, yeah.
But what it does from a refereeing point of view, puts them in the spotlight and makes some calls. Make some calls.
You should be a ref.
Jerome, make some calls.
Ref, he's all over me! Richard of Highbury. G'day, Richard.
G'day, mate. How are you? All right?
Grant Thomas's comments. What do you think?
Totally start round one tomorrow night. Let's get on with it. You know, the women have done a really good job the last 2 weeks building our readiness for football and having a nothing trials. The guys have been training for 100-odd days now. I think they'll be eating at the bit to go now too. I'm just waiting for the main season to go. It should start tomorrow night.
Beautiful, Richard. Could it just the ability to work your way from a fitness point of view too, Jazz, in build? Because what they do, they just, the moment the season starts, they're hanging on for dear life from a fitness point of view, unless you've had interrupted summers.
Yeah, but you can't play five internal trials leading up to
you
round
one. You don't, though. No, but you don't.
A lot of them, that's all they do now.
But what you do is you start, this allows you to push back pre-season dates, allows you to give them genuine break dates, so the boys can come in firing. So you time the schedule in that you don't have to play 5 weeks of trials, that you have all this time to be working on game plan and everything else, and then you challenge it, you know, maybe two internals and that's it.
Yeah, I don't. Get with the future. I don't. I think you need at least two trials.
Yeah, but you've been a massive advocate for pre-season. You only need 6 weeks to get fit.
Yeah, I understand, but still play two trial games before round one.
What do you need them for, mate? A bloke with your touch. Didn't need to be.
Don't bring it back on
didn't
me.
Didn't need
again.
To come. And the other one, a bloke like you didn't need to put himself out in 35-degree heat either when it came to a summer.
I don't recall playing too many trial games. So. Keith of Murray Bridge, g'day, mate.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, buddy.
Keithy. What do you think?
Come on, mate.
Yeah, no, I reckon don't have any trial games, and you probably should start with a grand final replay, I reckon, as well.
Oh,
free to the choir.
Keith, prize time for you, Keith. Yeah, keep going, Keithy.
Also, just another thing, let's get rid of the mustaches as well.
Oh.
Don't worry about the beard. Get rid of the mustaches. They're disgusting.
Yeah, the porn mo's
well,
embarrassing.
Well, I better speak to my nephew, Benny Jarman, because he's growing money. Yeah. He thinks he's Burt Reynolds.
Tell you what, Keith, you keep ringing in with that sort of kind of content, you are going to be a star.
You could replace me, mate.
Hey, got a double.
Sean already offered me a job before, anyway.
There you go.
the KFC T20 International. This is on next Wednesday, Adelaide Oval. Commonwealth Bank Southern Stars are playing New Zealand first up.
Is it cricket on?
Next Wednesday. And then Australia are taking on Sri Lanka.
No one gives a
stuff. That's right, all the boys are over, in Dubai.
No one gives a stuff about that game next week.
I tell you what.
It'll be packed.
Those mows are offensive. They are. That is the, don't worry about the hair, the mo.
Rodney Dangerfield of Parafield Gardens. G'day, mate.
Yeah, g'day, Jars. And how are you, Louis? Yeah, all good. Yeah.
Talk to us.
What do you got for us, Rocket?
I got a couple of things. I just want to endorse your remarks about leadership last night. You were talking about selecting them.
Yep.
But just before I get onto that one, I don't know whether you boys are aware that it's the South Australian Country Carnival Cricket this week in Adelaide.
Oh, whereabouts? 300
different lads all around town. Look, they play them at different ovals, Para Hills, Brighton, Park 25 down there in the corner opposite the New Market.
Yep.
Everything. Their base is at the Wellington Hotel in North Adelaide, where they all go back each night. So the results and things could come over and they get the captains and stuff to ring in and give you an update. They should, eh?
Yeah, they should.
Well, I like it, Rocket. Bit of country week. Yeah, I like country cricket.
Yeah. So you got 300 lads. So I suppose all the young girls are looking for a country lad. Get out of the Wellington Hotel at night, eh?
I reckon Brocky would have them sorted over there.
Marry a farmer.
And I know Penaroo and Border, where I used to come from, they beat Roxby Downs today.
So, well done.
Well played.
Tell you what,
Jars.
Yep.
Jars, mate, I fully agree with what you said last night. The coach should select the leadership group.
Well played,
Rocket. I've been a coach for a long time, and you know who you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? I like it.
And one little theory I always had too, you have your three or four, but I'd always try and bring in one young bloke into it to give him that
spot
experience of the leadership to come up. And there are guys that you try and thing that they might be a coach one day as well. And I was so proud of when I last coached that a couple of them have gone on and coached at senior level. So
beautiful.
That's the way, because if you let the player, pick their things, you might have that team bit of a bully, mate. It's got a bit of intimidation over the other players, and he pulls a bit of rank, and players, oh, right, we've got to vote for him. We've got to vote for him because it'll get back, you see. And exactly what you were saying last night about, look, it's human stuff, mate. If someone votes for someone and you got to own up for it, that person, of course he's going to be a bit shitty sometimes and think of negative things.
Mm. Good on you, Rocket. We've got to keep moving, mate. Love your passion, mate.
Country Week Cricketers Duck Club. Might want to hear from next Monday, Jas.
Yeah, we're going to Emma of Milo.
No, he wrote on a piece of paper, the bloke that doesn't want to be captain, that we should go to a song. But we're discriminating,
Emma.
So go to
Emma. Emma is one of our favourites. G'day, Emma of Milo. How
still
are
do
you?
Her.
Hi, Em.
Oh, hey, boys. How you doing?
Go, Em.
I was just going to say about the women's, bringing the women's forward instead of doing the internals. It would be interesting to see if the attendance of the women's, if they started paying.
Yeah, charging at the gates.
And charging at the gates if the attendance still.
Yeah.
And if the attendance still there.
We may find out that next year when the season starts off again with the girls. If they charge them $10-$12, the crowds will drop by half.
The sponsorship,
keep it free.
The sponsorship they'll get after keep it what free. Has been announced. Yeah, they will absolutely. Not. You won't be paying for a couple of years for women's
sample
footy.
Should be free now.
Yeah.
The sample shouldn't be slugging $14-$15 bucks to go and watch them.
Yeah, tell you who we're slugging. Rocket, an invoice for that airtime.
He's a good man, Rocket.
He was great, but geez, how much a minute is on this show?
Can I have a prize for Emma, please?
Yeah, Adelaide United tickets. Of course, Adelaide United playing Newcastle Jets. You guys are going to be at the Joiners on Friday before the game as well. Good. Cooper Stadium this Friday night, 7:20. Tickets from adelaideunited.com.au.
Sounds like we should be at the Wellington with Brocky and all the cricketers.
The Rush Hour with Jas and Louis. Made in Adelaide for Adelaide. Weekdays from 4 on 104.7 Triple M.